Prophet said, raise your children with three qualities. Prophet said, raise your children with three qualities. Love of your prophet, love of his family, and reading the Quran.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. اما بعد فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم الصلاۃ والسلام علیک یا رسول اللہ الصلاۃ والسلام علیک یا حبیب اللہ الصلاۃ والسلام علیک یا نبی اللہ وعلی آلک واصحابک یا نور اللہ دی بیلوڈ پروفیٹ صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وآلہ وسلم ہیز سٹیٹڈ Anyone who recites درود upon me once اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی sends 10 mercies upon him صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم Dear viewers of Mardi channel, we welcome to the silsila Childhood Matters. Our today's topic is very important and I hope every parent must watch this silsila. The topic is authority figure. Being Muslim, the parents in Islam, yes, parents, they have been given authority over their children. But there are some limits to that authority. If you ask me, what are the children? I will say they are flowers. And being a parent, we are to protect them from destruction. So we need to protect them. But we must be very careful in this process of protection. We must not crush them. Because what I have seen, there are a lot of parents, they have flowers, they have children in form of flowers, but they are crushing them. And that is just because of misuse of their authority. We need to teach them. We don't need to keep them all the time in constant pressure, which crushes them, which shows that they have lack of social skills and many other things as well. For this discussion, we have on our panel Dr. Zirek Saab, who is a medical expert. Basically, he is a psychiatrist by profession, and mashallah, he has experience in this field as well. First question, Dr. Saab, what is the concept of this authority figure?
When we use the word authority figure, to the parents, this may mean being someone who is a dominant. And children have to actually obey their order. However, this concept of authority figure is much more important and something that we need to understand. When we are children, little children, children always copy the parents and they follow their commands. They basically obey the commands of their parents. Because children feel that their parents are always right. Now, this obeying of commands can be for two reasons. Number one, to get reward in form of praise or other means of reward. And the second thing is that if we did not obey the command, there will be negative consequences of that. And to avoid those negative consequences, we will actually obey. And even little children have this understanding. If I obey the commands of my parents, they will be happy with me and I will get what I want in terms of reward. But if I do not obey their commands, this will actually lead to sanctions. And different form of sanctions will be applied by the parents. Now, children will actually then learn, and these parents, they become their authority figure for them. So, in essence, authority figure is someone that you try to obey in very early years of your life. In, obviously, mashallah, you mentioned that the parents are the authority figures from a religious point of view. But in our society, in our culture, there are other forms of authority figures. For example, teachers are also an authority figure. And in Western world, it is drilled into the minds of children that teachers are authority figures. You need to obey them. You cannot disobey them. If you disobey authority figures, authority status of a teacher, then you will actually suffer consequences of this. Similarly, law authorities, like for example, policemen, they are they are assumed to be authority figures in that sense as well, that you have to abide by law. You have to obey the commands that are given to you by the police officers, by the law. If you do not obey these commands, then basically you will actually suffer the consequences. So in short, parents, teachers, police officers, other relevant law authorities, they are all authority figures. The reason they are authority figures is that we do not question their authority. We actually firmly believe that these are what we call as legitimate authority figures, and we have no option to disobey them. Now, as far as the teachers and the police officers and the other law authorities are concerned, then clearly that concept remains valid throughout our life. However, when it comes to parents as authority figures, over the past few years, there has been a major shift in this change. And even in Western countries and so forth, the idea is being conveyed that the teachers and the government authorities, and these are the real authority figures, whereas the parents may not be the authority figures. They may be wrong. So, what is happening is that the ideas are being put in the minds of the children, or the concepts, or the beliefs, or the way of thinking is being put into the minds of children, where authority figures like teachers are teaching them, this is how you should behave, this is what you should obey. Whereas on the other hand, the parents may be trying to disagree with all these concepts and ideas. Now, being a Muslim, there are lots of challenges. If the parents, they cannot afford to lose their status of authority figure. And if they lose the status of authority figure, then this will actually lead to damaging consequences towards the upbringing of the children. Now, it is a basic human right. Whatever religious beliefs I follow is what I will teach my children as well. No one can actually deny this basic human right. I want my children what I feel is the best for them. And as a parent, I have the best interests of my child at heart. I know my child the best because of, obviously, raising them up and so on and so forth. And if I were to basically focus on this side of authority figure in terms of teaching religious beliefs, in terms of teaching Islamic beliefs, then it is extremely important that as a Muslim parent, I maintain that authority figure throughout the life of my child.
Alok Sahib, you mentioned different figures. They are like authority figures, like teachers, like policemen. And you also mentioned parents as well. So now my question is, why the parents, they need to remain authority figure for a long time?
Now, obviously, the reason for them to remain an authority figure or for their children is clearly in terms of teaching the ethics, in terms of teaching the social skills, in terms of teaching the manners that, or the etiquettes that are acceptable within their own cultural understanding, within their own religious set of beliefs. And clearly, Western world, this is a multicultural society. And where obviously Islam teaches us how to live in harmony with other, with people of other religions and so forth. Clearly there are countless examples from the historical point of view that how in Islamic era people of all religious beliefs have actually lived in harmony with each other. So it is extremely important that if we want to maintain that harmony in this day and age as well, then we also teach our children the right religious beliefs as well. And this will help save these children from adopting those extremist views that they are exposed to through, obviously, internet and these damaging extremist views. So if the parents actually lose their authority figure, then this can actually devoid the children from actually having that development and understanding and upbringing from an Islamic point of view.
Well, parents, they are authority figures, but there is another aspect as well, Dr. Saab, which I have observed a lot. Sometimes parents, they are using too much pressure. Now, this constant pressure creates a sort of confusion in their children. And now the children, for the rest of the life, they are always in fear, confused. Even in small matters, they are unable to take the right decision. So in this situation, what will be your mashwara for the parents?
The word you've used, confused.
Theek.
Now, if I were to take my understanding on this confusion, which I think is also very important, that actually leads to parents not becoming authority figures, or the parents actually lose this authority figure when the children get confused. What do we mean by that confusion, or what do I mean by that confusion? For example, initially, child, when they are young, for example, up to age of 4, 5, 6, a child firmly believes that his parents are always right.
Theek.
And up until this age, the child will simply obey what the parents will say. Now, the parents, they are always constantly in communication with their children. Parents are sending messages to the children either verbally or with their actions. Now, what happens is that sometimes parents with their words will say something, but with their actions, they will do something completely different.
Theek.
Now, when they do something completely different, so for example, they tell the child not to tell a lie, but in front of the child, completely oblivious, they end up telling a lie, and the child is able to observe that. Now, the child's little mind becomes very confused. That why did my parent teach me not to lie, but they themselves are telling a lie? Now, this in psychological terms is called cognitive dissonance.
Okay.
This actually creates a very painful emotion in this mindset of the child. Now, as they are beginning to understand and there is further development and they see their parents that multiple times they may be saying something but doing something different, this confuses the child's mind. So, as a result of this confusion that is created in the mindset of the child basically begins to question. And they actually develop this sense now that my parents are not legitimate authority figure. Because that trust is broken.
Theek.
And clearly this will lead to this impact that the children will begin to get their information, will begin to get their ideas from other authority figures, teachers, the other law authorities, or any other authority figure that actually exists in the society at that time. Now, in your question, one aspect was confusion, and the one aspect was the pressure that the parents are always actually telling children what to do, what not to do. Now, there should not be pressure. Parents need to understand that the authority does not mean that you become strict. And there are ways to use this authority. For example, up till the age of 4 or 5, children basically will simply obey everything. Whatever you will tell them, whatever you will ask them to do. Now, once they begin to actually enter the age of 5 or 6, as part of their normal development, these questions will come in their mind. How and why? For everything that they will observe, they will ask their parents, how does this happen? Why do we do this? Now, similarly, as part of this developing process, sometimes when the parents will tell them to do something, the child will ask, why? Now, in this case, the child is not actually disobeying the parent. They are simply beginning to understand and explore what is the reason behind this. Whereas the parents may take it as a negative and they may say that, you know, why do you ask? You just do what I tell you. So, this is the pressure that you are actually referring to. Now, what happens in terms of authority is initially we obey. But as we begin to understand and we begin to ask this question how and why, now the next step in terms of for the authority figure that is very important to realize And the authority figure now needs to understand another concept. And this concept is called compliance. Initially it was obedience, which is like following the order. So for example, in military, a soldier is simply going to abide by or obey the commands of his officers,
senior,
of his senior. The compliance there is not a concept that the soldier needs to know, because soldier cannot question. Whereas, as for a parent, for someone who is actually upbringing their children, they need to be aware of this concept of compliance. When the child starts asking this question, how and why, now if you cannot satisfy your child, if you cannot answer their question to their satisfaction and understanding, this child will not comply. They may obey, but they may not comply. They will not feel at ease. So if you continue to actually ask them to obey without explaining, then this lack of compliance, lack of understanding from the child's point of view, and the reason is that the parents are unable to explain or answer the question, then this is another thing that the child will feel pressured into doing something. And this pressure from the parents, parents may be thinking, I'm simply using my authority. Whereas the child is thinking, yes, you are telling me to do this, but I'm not understanding. I cannot understand the reasoning behind this. So they may actually keep on obeying, but disobedience actually then leads to rebellion as soon as they can then use their own power to exert or assert their own sort of decision making.
Just connected to the answer, there is another question that, as you said, that children, they develop the habit of asking the questions why and how. Now many a times it happens that parents, they are unable to give the answers to the hows and whys. Now my question is, don't you think that this lack of knowledge from the parents is going to negatively affect their status of being authority figures?
This is a very important point. But the parents are going to get confused. How do I know, the answer to everything? It is true that if you fail to actually give the right answer or give the right information, and the child who is actually looking up towards you, your child actually believes that my dad or my mom knows everything. And when you are not able to answer this, then this belief will actually be diminished. And the child will begin to understand that, no, I was wrong in making that assumption. Now, as a parent, you don't need to know everything. There's nothing wrong by saying to your child when they ask a question, I don't know the answer to this, but let us try to find the answer. Use all sorts of different means to try and find the answer. By this, you are actually helping your child or teaching them the skill that when you don't know the answer, how do you actually find the answer? When you come across a problem where you don't know what to do, how to resolve that problem? This will actually build the trust of that child in you. This will also strengthen your relationship with them. This will also teach the child that my parent, my father, my mother took my question seriously and they prioritized it and they found the answer out for me. And in this day and age, if the child asks a religious question, it is very easy. Either you consult a scholar or you go to Dawat Islami website, download the book on that question and read it yourself and explain it to your child. Similarly, when your child, obviously children will ask all sort of questions. Children may ask the question about how does the engine of a car work? How does obviously this, how does a rocket work? You know, how does sort of like TVs work, and so on and so forth. Now, obviously, we all have different fields of expertise. Sometimes the children may ask a medical question. Doesn't mean that you have to be a doctor. Doesn't mean that all of us have to be rocket scientists. Doesn't mean that all of us have to be religious scholars. But there are means to obtaining that information, and make sure that you use the right means and authentic means to to get that information. And if we can do that, the inshallah azawajal, this concept of authority figure will of parents, because teachers are educated in their field. Other authority figures are educated in their field. But for a parent, they don't need to be a specialist in every field, but they have to have a bit of a general knowledge about, obviously, our religion. You need to obviously have all the farz ulum knowledge and everything. And then a little bit of knowledge about other things, and then you can use all these other resources to find out the answers for them, and this will have a beneficial impact. And inshallah, azawajal, with the blessing of this knowledge, your child will continue to hold you as a parent, as an authority figure in their mind, and it will become very easy for you now for your child to comply with your advice, not obey. Comply. Why? Because they now understand what is the reasoning behind this. And this understanding can go a long way. And inshallah, by this understanding in a religious field, your children will actually become best Muslim beings, rather than blindfoldedly following. And in the Western countries, this is a big risk. Because when they teach you science, they explain everything. And they answer the questions in the mind of the child. Not just that, but they actually encourage the child to think laterally and come up with further questions and then go through this process of learning knowledge. But if we do not do that in the field of religion, if the child asks a religious question, we say, be quiet, you don't need to ask this question. This is completely contradicting with worldly knowledge that they are gaining in the school. So these two streams will go at different angles. We want them to go in parallel, so that our child is, if he's a professional, at the same time he's actually convinced and he can deliver or he can practice upon or he can answer questions of others in terms of why do we do this and what is the reason for doing this in from a religious point of view as well.
Dr. Saab, there is another question. And my personal experience, those parents who are very affectionate, I feel that their children, they love them more and they obey them more than those parents who are very authoritative and all the time pressurizing their children. So now my question is, do you think that affection plays more role than the pressure?
Now this is another very crucial question or issue, that with authority, people may associate it with obviously that whatever we say has to be obeyed. Whatever I say has to be done. And sometimes they obviously associate with power. There is a difference between authority and power. And with authority, you don't have to actually use all the time power and anger and force. If you are actually affectionate toward your children and you got a loving and caring relationship and a trusting relationship with your child, and your child actually trusts you, then this affection can actually play a huge part. For example, previously I said that the children need to have an understanding. They need to develop an understanding, which is why they start asking how and why. Now, if my relationship with the child is affectionate, and I may not be able to explain everything all the time, but if the affection element is there, then the child will actually obey regardless of whether it makes sense or not. And they may also understand, okay, this may not be making sense to me at the moment, but it is possible that later on this may make sense to me. So affection is extremely important. Authority does not mean power. Authority means that you need to get a response from the child, but with an understanding, with love and affection. And as they say in Urdu, ke mohabbat itaat paida karwati hai. Affection leads to obedience. So affection has got very important role. Parents always need to be affectionate towards their children. This affection between the child and the parent actually further flourishes this authority figure relationship.
Good. Very good. There is another aspect, being authority figure. we are Muslims, and being Muslim parents, it's our responsibility to give Islamic upbringing to our children. We need to teach them the Islamic values and many other things which are necessary in Islam. Now, my question is, being an authority figure, how one can prove effective in order to give the Islamic teachings and Islamic values to their children?
Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, we are Muslims.
Ji.
Islam is a beautiful religion. Teachings of Islam are amazing. Whether we look at it from social point of view, cultural point of view, or any other point of view. And Islam places huge emphasis on rights of others. And not to violate the rights of others, not just rights of human beings, also the rights of animals and other creatures. So in my personal opinion, it is extremely important that our children have a good understanding of what are the true and beautiful teachings of Islam. Now, unfortunately, we live in a culture, we live in a society where different people have different views. And sadly, sometimes what happens is the certain individuals who have got power or certain authorities who have power, they may try to enforce their own views, which may be wrong, or views that are of a minority, but they are trying to force it upon the majority, or what they believe is right may be wrong in the eyes of others. But because they are in power, they are forcing this. Now clearly, you cannot force anything on an individual. Yes, you can make laws and things and so forth. However, it is not the right way to actually tell someone to do something by forcing things upon them. Similarly, there are many things that may be taught in the school environment. There are many things that may be taught culturally or socially. And lots of these things which may be contradicting with the teachings of Islam. When there is a contradiction between what is being taught in the society, whether it is at school, colleges, universities, or what is coming through the social media, because in this day and age, social media is the biggest influence on anyone, let alone children. And the messages that are coming from all these aspects are contradictory to the beautiful teachings of Islam, then the only way a child will be able to survive as a true Muslim, or the child will grow up as a true Muslim, is by parents having this authority figure. And this authority figure, when it is combined with love and affection and explanation, and parents having the right amount of knowledge, and they're explaining or trying to explain things to the children, then through this, a child, a Muslim child, will actually grow up to be a good Muslim. And sadly, if the parents are unable to flourish this relationship of authority figure with their children, whether it is by abusing their power, whether it is by lack of knowledge and not being able to understand children's question, or for other reasons, then unfortunately, whatever values are being taught through all these platforms or social media, then our children will become victim of this, and we will be unable to bring any change with our children. And then basically this is what goes wrong, and the parents are then heard complaining, and they may be blaming social media, they may be blaming the school environment, they may be blaming the friend culture and the society and all these things, when in essence the problem is with the parents themselves, and they've not been able to realize what this authority figure is and how they can flourish it.
Dear viewers of Madni Channel, we are Muslims, and Muslim parents, they have a very big responsibility. Children, they are like amana, like trust in our hands, and it's our responsibility to bring them up under the shade of the values of Islam. Because as you are going to be asked on the day of judgment about the rights of other people, you will also be asked about the rights of your children. Children become a very big responsibility upon our shoulders. These children can either lead us towards Jannah on the day of judgment, or they can become a cause for us to entering into Jahannam. If our children were not educated as it was the responsibility, then we will be held accountable on the day of judgment. there is a hadith which highlights another aspect, and that is our children become our source of earning rewards even if we pass away from this world. Ji haan, a hadith says that actions of believers stop when he passes away except three things. Number one, a sadaqah jariya, like a continuous charity work which continues even after a person passes away. For example, making a well for the people so they can take water from that well. So even if the person dies, still the good deeds will be written in his book of deeds. Then there is another thing, and that is knowledge. A scholar who teaches the Islamic knowledge and he passes away. So even if he passes away, but because that knowledge is existing amongst his students and they are teaching other students, so in this way, this action will also be written in the book of deeds of that scholar who passed away. Now the third thing which is mentioned in the hadith is al-waladu salih, a pious boy. But it has, you know, the meanings can be applied both to the boys and the girls. The pious offspring, the pious children which you leave behind, they will make dua for you, and because of their duas, inshallah azza wa jal, you will have a big benefit in hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to understand the value of the trust which has been given in our hands. Ameen, bijahin nabil ameen. Inshallah, we will come back with another episode with another very interesting topic. Sallu alal habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Prophet said, raise your children with three qualities. Prophet said, raise your children with three qualities. Love of your Prophet, love of his family, and reading the Quran.